The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to verse 79. It is page 88 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him with fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. A new child, who will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Amen. When Zechariah was able to speak after 9 months, he praised God with a hymn of prophecy. If he sang about God who worked for the people of Israel in the past, in the first part of his praise, he sings about how God will work in the future in the latter part of his hymn. The verse 76 says the following: And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. The calling that John received was to prepare the way for the Lord, to reveal him as such. In the ancient Middle East, when a king went off to tour through his conquered territories, they sent people ahead of him to prepare the way. And these people who were sent got rid of rocks, leveled rough areas, and filled up holes so that the king would be better revered. Even now, when a president of a country is to show up at a baseball game to throw a ball to start a season, or has a plan to visit a regional city, the security service would keep such plan under wraps and prepare all kinds of security measures in tight security. The reason that security service does this is not for their sake, but to ensure that the president will be presented to the public as the president. If each of us is living in a manner which properly reveals the Lord, then we are people who are preparing the way for the Lord. The church I grew up in was so small that one education minister had to take care of the church school for elementary school kids, the middle and high school kids, and even for adults in 20s and 30s. And I served as a Sunday school teacher and as a member of the young people's leadership. Even then, when summer or winter break was near, the Presbytery sponsored a teacher's workshop for Sunday schools and retreats. I attended the teacher's workshop and organized what I learned there and taught the Sunday school teachers about what I learned. And I used to discuss the Word of God with young people without knowing how the time was passing. And it felt like I served the church with zeal, but in reality, I was being readied to be used as the Lord's pathway. And those preparations readied me to serve the Lord at the Lord's church for 8 years and 6 months. I serve the children's worship, the middle and high school worship, young people's worship, and adult worship. It may also have looked like I was serving the church, but in reality, the Lord was preparing me to better prepare the way for the Lord. And these experiences made me be ready to serve the Swiss Geneva Korean Church for 6 years. And what I did at the Geneva Church also may look like I was doing the serving, but the Lord was training me to better prepare the way of the Lord. And I am now preparing the way for the Lord at 100th Anniversary Memorial Church. It is my hope that through my life, faith, and works, the Lord will be revealed as the Lord. The verse 77 tells us more concretely about the way that John must prepare to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. The time that John was born was a depressing age. The oppression of Israelite people by the Roman Empire was already hard enough to bear, but Herod's governance added more oppression. And moreover, after Herod died, the country became divided up into four, and this division added to people's misery. To be freed from the rule of Roman Empire was a long-held desire of the Israelite people. What John offered for them was the knowledge of salvation that comes through forgiveness of sins. But it wasn't the case that the Israelites did not know about God's salvation. Unlike Gentiles, they knew about God. They had believed in God from the time of Abraham for at least 2,000 years. There were at least three big festivals: the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Feast of the First Fruits, and the Feast of Weeks. There were days for fasting. They went to synagogues on Sabbath and read God's words. But they didn't have the right knowledge about God, which was actually the most important thing. They thought that they knew about God better than anyone, but such knowledge ended up hindering them in knowing God in the right way. As a result, they provided a place for Jesus, who had come to tell us about the salvation through the forgiveness of sins, to be nailed to the cross. Now, there are seven sayings of Jesus that he spoke on the cross. As to his first saying, the first part of Luke 23, verse 34, testifies as follows: "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." At the time, a person being executed on the cross had to do two things. The first was getting whipped, and the second was to carry the cross that he would be hung on. Jesus carried the cross on the way to the Golgotha, but he became so weak that Simon of Cyrene had to carry it for him. When the Lord arrived at Golgotha, the Lord's two hands and feet were nailed, and a crown of thorns was placed on his head. He opened his mouth to speak when the pain must have been so extreme that he could not talk. What he said was a request for the forgiveness of people. The reason that he asked for our forgiveness is because on the cross is because this is the most important and the most necessary thing. As for what the salvation by forgiveness of sins is, verses 78 to 79 testify as follows. By which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness. The Lord, who is to come by the way prepared by John, is to come upon us like the rising sun. The word come to us in Greek in verse 78 and verse 68 of chapter 1 of Luke also have the meaning of visiting. It is saying that the Lord, who is like the rising sun, visited and gave light to those living under darkness and in shadow of death. In other words, before we obtained forgiveness of sins, our place was darkness and the shadow of death. Matthew chapter 4, 15 through 16 explains this further. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Matthew also says that the place that originally belonged that we originally belonged to was darkness and the land of the shadow of death. If the Lord, who is the rising sun, does not shine upon you and he does not visit you, then it does not matter that you eat great meals every day and have precious jewels that no one else has. It does not matter that you have a position that everyone envies, and that you furthermore are living a life that is applauded by society, and that you are living a glamorous life. Where you are is but darkness and a place under the shadow of death. How dark that place is automatically confirmed the moment the light of the Lord, who is the rising sun, shines. Paul, who had only known Jesus as the Jesus of Nazareth, went to Damascus to arrest people who were following the Lord. But the Lord, who is the rising sun, visited him. And Acts chapter 26:16 tells us about the calling that the Lord gave him as follows. Now, get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. The calling that Paul received from the Lord was not to spread the gospel to as many Gentiles as possible. And he was not to plant a lot of churches as much as possible. The calling that he received was to make people open their eyes so that they would move from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. This says that all lives that do not have the guide's light on them and who are not within God's rule are in darkness and under the power of Satan. When Apostle Paul made this testimony, he was standing before King Agrippa, Queen Bernice, and Festus, the governor, and other high officials of the Israel. At the time, they probably ate and slept in houses that had the best lights than all other houses in Israel. They probably thought that their lives shined and they were living the high life. But Paul says to them, to the contrary, that they were in darkness. The reason that Paul was able to make the entreaty to them through his testimony was because his past was very similar to theirs. Paul was certain that his life was lived in the light. But when the Lord, who is the rising sun, met him, he became blind and went to Damascus by being led by other people. Then a disciple named Ananias prayed over him, and scale-like things fell from his eyes, and he was at last able to see again. Before that time, he was living a life that was covered over by scale-like things. So we can understand the kind of darkness that he was living in before he met the Lord. The latter part of verse 79 tells us about the result of God forgiving our sins and saving us through Jesus Christ. It says, to guide our feet into the path of peace. The peace does not only mean absence of war or conflict, but the word also implies a way of life that is lived with God. If we were to go compete in figure skating, if Kimiana were to go with us, then we would be greatly encouraged. If she tells us about her different experiences and episodes, it would be even be better that she is with us. Would be much more precious than her paying for our entrance ticket into the game. Therefore, that God walks with us and is with us cannot be compared with anything else. No matter what we have, how much possessions we have, it cannot be compared with God walking with us. The reason that we are able to enjoy the salvation through forgiveness of sins and the grace of God working with us is not because we have some qualifications and merits, but because God had mercy on us. When I entered the seminary, I attended my first communion at the chapel, and the pastor leading the service read the part about the Last Supper that Jesus shared with his 12 disciples.
They were very sad and began to say to him one after other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me." The pastor read this part, and the question, the "surely you don't mean me, Lord," "surely you don't mean me, Lord," and this question kept echoing in my mind. So I also said to the Lord, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." But I was not confident that someone like me, who is so lacking, full of faults and pathetic, was sitting there claiming to want to do God's work. Seemed embarrassing. No matter how generous I was with assessing myself, I was not qualified to do God's work. When I wandered onto that thought, tears started flowing nonstop. The thought that God gave me at that moment was that you're not here because you're qualified. You are here because I called you. This is not my experience or testimony only, but it is the common experience and testimony of all of us. Today is the Holy Week Sunday, on which we commemorate the Passion of Christ, the sufferings He endured on the cross 2,000 years ago for us. As to what the Lord had to go through in order to clothe us with God's mercy, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 2 to 3 says this: "He grew up before Him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to Him, nothing in His appearance that we should desire Him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, He was despised, and we held Him in low esteem." If the Lord who came as a man were to be compared to a tree, how great it would be to compare Him to an American redwood tree, which is said to be the biggest tree in the world, at Sequoia National Park in California, United States, which is 84 meters tall and has a diameter of 11 meters and has a girth of 31 meters. If it were so, people would have at least pretended to acknowledge Jesus as the Lord because of the sheer largesse of His being. Or say that even if He weren't so big, what if He was like a tall and straight bamboo tree that has certain nobility to it that makes people become respectful? But the Bible tells us that the Lord who came was like a tender shoot. And this is a word that is used to describe a baby tree, a young tree. It would have been great if this young shoot was planted in fertile land, which is well watered, so that it was certain that it would grow up to become a big tree in the near future. But it says that it was a shoot out of a dry ground, so that it was worrisome whether he would make it. And further, his roots were so small that people could not acknowledge that it would grow well into a big tree. Since the Lord didn't look so great, people could not acknowledge Him as a Savior. And actually, He was born to a woman who was engaged to be married to a carpenter, a very lowly occupation. He was laid in a manger for animals as he did not have a room, and grew up as a son of a carpenter. No matter how we look, there was nothing about his appearance that would lead people to acknowledge him as the Savior. So people probably thought that it was only natural that he suffered. But as for the real reason why he suffered, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 to 6 testify as follows. Surely he took upon our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What is emphasized in these verses is the word our pain, our suffering, our transgressions. It is all of our transgressions. For us human beings, there are illnesses that we can never heal. To us, there are sadness that cannot be taken away by ourselves. There is a violation of God's realm that we should not have crossed. And the sin of disobeying God's commandments and living out of our desires. All of these amount to us being the object of God's wrath. And yet, God responded with mercy by having his son killed and gave us the eternal life. This is the message of God that is given to us on this holy Sunday of the Holy Week that we should etch in our hearts. If God's mercy came upon us without any condition, then let us, who have been saved by our sins being forgiven, offer our hands, our feet, and our lives to the Lord so that we can become the pathway by which God's grace may flow. It is only natural that we do so. Although we may be like tender shoots, and there is nothing about us that seems beautiful, God will use us as pathways of his grace to heal the places that have been wounded, to purify places that have become polluted, and turn places of darkness and places of shadow of death to places in the sun of light and of life. Why? Because the Lord whom God made live again is the eternal healer, eternal light and life. Let us pray. Father, John received the calling of informing his people about salvation that comes from being forgiven of sins. May we look back to see whether we had forgotten the grace that comes from being forgiven, although we are your people. We confess that we were able to live with salvation from having our sins forgiven by your mercy. And by your mercy, we were able to sit not under the darkness and shadows of death, but sit in place of light and life and live with you. We give you thanks. For us to receive this grace, the Lord became lowly and vulnerable suffered all kinds of insults and persecutions, and bled on the cross. May we not forget that. And now, help us to become the pathways of your mercy. Help us to experience wounded souls being healed and restored through us, and see how the places that have become polluted become pure. May we live in the Lord all of our lives, so that the Lord dying would not have been in vain. May we offer ourselves wholly to the Lord, so that the Lord may live within us. Thereby, may the resurrection of the Lord become our resurrections, and the life in the Lord become our life. I pray in Jesus' name.